Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Right, quickly, before we get on with the episode, we've got an announcement. The MMA Fan Podcast is now sponsored by Free Train. Blake, what's Free Train?
Free Train is a fantastic company that do these amazing vests for when you run, when you train. Whether you're going for a run or hitting the bag, you can keep your phone close to your chest. And yeah, they're brilliant. They've got a little pocket for your keys. You no more do you need to have your phone rumbling around in your pocket or at an awkward angle on your arm or anything like that. You've got the vest on. Phone's there, easy access to it. They do some great gloves as well to keep your hands warm and be able to touch the phone and everything. It's all linked up with your phone. So yeah, they're a fantastic brand. Couple of pockets for your keys, everything you need when you go for a run or if you're hitting the bag training.
And you're not just saying this for the sake of it. Before they even become our sponsors, you had one of these vests, didn't you?
Yeah. Yeah, I've still got it. I run with it all the time. But yeah, before they became our sponsors, I had one of these vests. They are genuinely brilliant. I really like them. And yeah, I'm really pleased they're our sponsor.
And if you want one, if you head over to freetrain.com, when you go shopping and you put all your stuff in your basket, just before you check out, if you put in the code MMAFAN, you'll save yourself 10%. Don't say we don't spoil you here on this podcast. 10% off. An amazing vest from Free Train. www.freetrain.com.
All right, let's get on with the show.
Welcome to the MMA Fan Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Stu and Blake.
Hello and welcome to the MMA Fan Podcast. I am one half of your host, Blake Harrison, and the other half is...
Stu Whiffin. That was the biggest hello you've done so far.
No, can't
be. Because before, what listeners won't know is before you done that big booming, excitable hello, you let our producer know that we was about to record the intro and you went... And this is the intro. And you've done it in a little kind of suave, sexy voice, which I thought, oh, hello, where's he going with this? And then you literally, a second later, just went, hello!
I've got range. That's, you know, that's all that 3 years at drama school and stuff. I can be suave and sexy. And then, hello! Hello! That annoying voice that you keep hearing whenever you tune into this show.
Well, we've got a great guest today. A superstar. And obviously, most importantly, somebody that manages to get their tweets on UFC events. I mean, that's the fundamental thing that really has grinded your gears, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it doesn't matter that he's got a new song out. It doesn't matter that he's got an album that he's being released, and it doesn't matter that he's going on tour soon. What matters is when he tweets, the UFC, like, screen grab it or whatever it is that they're doing, and put it on their broadcasts. Down in that bottom left-hand corner of the screen, his name pops up with his opinion on the broadcast out to millions and millions of fight fans around the world. And then I'm there, sat at home, trying my damnedest, sticking out 30 tweets to do with whatever event's going on, talking about prelims that no one cares about, just to desperately, desperately try and get my name up on that screen. And it never happened. So I've got a bone to pick with him for sure.
I mean, we should actually announce who that person is. It's James Arthur. And it's not just James Arthur. It's James with a new name, Arthur, which you'll find out about at the end when we find out who his fight name's going to be. And it's a great episode. James is super, super knowledgeable on combat sports. Way more knowledgeable than us. And obviously that means that's why Blake doesn't get his tweets on the UFC and James does.
How fucking dare you?
We should also say as well, there's 20 or so episodes out now. So go, once you finish listening to the episode with James, go and have a little explore of the back catalogue, because we've spoke to loads and loads of amazing fighters and people from the world of showbiz. And that's what you've got now. Please enjoy today's episode with James Arthur.
Sorry again, guys. We're going to briefly interrupt the podcast to tell you about a new movie called Embattled. Embattled is starring Stephen Dorff. It's written by David McKenna, who wrote American History X and Blow. You will also see cameos from Tyrone Woodley and Kenny Florian in this film. And it's the story of a tumultuous relationship between a father and his son. And did I mention that both father and son are MMA fighters? So this could be right up your street. It's available from the 5th of July on digital download. Check it out.
Hey, man. Hey.
Hello. How's it going?
Oh, good.
Good. How's it going?
Yeah, Sam, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, very good. Thanks, mate. Thanks for doing this.
Got the right threads on as well today, James. Loving that.
This is from 222, obviously. It was Ortega and Frankie Edgar when he knocked one. He knocked out Frankie.
Yeah, he hadn't been knocked out till that point, had he? I don't think Frankie had ever been knocked out. And then Ortega, there was that uppercut, wasn't it? Took him off his feet.
He went flying, didn't he? Yeah, it was mad that. It was mad to see that live, because I'd been a fan of Edgar for years. And it, like you say, he'd never been knocked out. And then to see him get, obliterated like that was mad. I thought Ortega was going to go on and be the champ, and then we saw what Max Holloway did to him.
Yeah.
It's pretty
well, he still might go on and be the champ. I mean, he's got Volkanovski coming up, hasn't he? So, I mean, I haven't seen any of the Ultimate Fighter series yet. Have you caught any of that?
Not yet, no, but I'm a big fan of that, so yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing it.
It's been quite weird. I watched the first one. I think the second one's on tonight, and I watched the first one, and we was lucky enough, James. We had Volkanovski on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, and he's such a sound lad. And I was always a massive fan of Ortega and just thought he seemed like a super cool guy. But I don't know, it's giving you a little insight, Tough, that, I don't know. I didn't gravitate towards him as much as I thought I would when you sort of see him being followed around and stuff like that. So I'd be interested to see how the rest of the series sort of pans out and as to what kind of characters evolve from it. Do you know what I mean? But yeah. I mean, we're recording already, and so we would normally do a bit more of an introduction and stuff. But that voice is James Arthur, who's joined us today for a big old UFC chat. How you doing, mate?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good, man. I'm good. Just I'm suffering with the hay fever at the minute. I don't know if you can relate, but it's it's pretty. I'm my house is surrounded by pollen. I've asked if they'll cut them down. They won't. But you know. I'm good. Other than that, I'm good. Other than dying from hay fever, I'm good.
Well, we normally ask when we talk to fighters how they got into combat sports. So what I'll ask you, James, is how you got into to watching combat sports.
Well, to be honest, I was as a kid, I was always a boxing fan. You know, I grew up in the era of Ricky Hatton and. I was more into boxing, and then I think Channel 5 or something, they started showing, like, during the era of like Ortiz and Brock Lesnar, Frank Mir, those great fights. They were televised in the UK, and again, I was a bit of a casual, so I'd kind of show up for those kind of fights. And then when about 10, 12 years ago now, when BT Sport got, I think, the rights for UFC. It was at that point that I just became fully invested, and I started watching the journeys of Michael Bisping and Conor McGregor. And I don't think I've missed an event. You'll catch me at 3-4 in the morning on Twitter most weeks when UFC's on. I'm a bit of a super fan. So yeah, no, I've just loved it ever since I started watching it. It offers you more narratives than boxing, and more amazing stories, and more styles, and more upsets, and it's just the drama of it all, the theatre of it all, just really, really appeals to me. And like I said, you can have two styles coming up against each other that really you can't figure out who's going to come out on top, which I love. With boxing, I suppose it's a little bit more predictable.
Yeah, I can relate to everything you just said there, except for the one element that I'm truly jealous of you for, James, if I'm perfectly honest, in that when you're staying up late to watch the UFC and you're tweeting about it, your little Twitter handle comes up on the left-hand bottom of my screen and I see James Arthur's talking about the fight and I'm there going like, hashtag UFC, at UFC Europe, and they couldn't care less what I think about anything. I'm picking prelim fights. I'm like, no one's going to be tweeting about this fight. I've got an opinion on it. Nothing. They give me nothing. How does it feel when your name comes up in the bottom of that screen?
It's a great feeling. Yeah, it's a great feeling because, you know, UFC hasn't always been mainstream, and I'd like to think I've been around in the time before it was. And you see a lot of people come along and all of a sudden they're huge fans. Maybe they've jumped on the Conor McGregor bandwagon or whatever. Yeah. And you see them kind of like getting the recognition. Yeah, of course, it's validating, you know, the fact that I feel like a true MMA fan and seeing my name come up. They give a toss what I think. It's cool. But yeah, I mean, do you know what? Our next UFC fight, I mean, we'll just tweet, me and you will just keep tweeting until we
get. Yes, brilliant. Anything, I'll do anything. I'll slip you money, whatever it takes. I just want my name on that screen. That's all it is.
I'll drop him an email. I'll tell him all the good work you do.
Yeah, thanks.
I mean, talking about sort of growing up and watching the eras of Ricky and stuff like that, and aside from watching combat sports, was it anything that ever kind of entered into your life? Did you ever fancy sort of going in the gym? Did you put the boxing gloves on? You know, what's your relationship been with that side of things?
My relationship with fighting is, like, as a kid, I did grow up in a little bit of a rough area, so I did find myself in scraps a lot. So nothing super technical, obviously, but I've trained boxing on and off for a long time. I haven't been able to be consistent with it because of the nature of my job and stuff. So I really wanted to get into jiu-jitsu at one time. I just kept bottling it, to be honest. I didn't fancy getting a knee injury or get my arm broken when I've got to play, you know, gigs and stuff. So it's mostly the stand-up side of things, boxing. I trained with a guy who's an MMA fighter called Richie Edwards in London. He's fought in various organizations, and he's been teaching me boxing for probably the best part of 8-9 years now. So bit of boxing. I've obviously not competed with anyone, but I've always kind of dreamt, like, I'd love to get in the ring and have a fight. I mean, MMA, I don't have the skill set. I'd be very one dimensional. So yeah.
So would you fancy one of those like charity boxing matches, you know, that they've done in the past with, like, I think, to be fair, they've mainly done comedians to make it look very funny. But if they had, like, somewhere probably between that and what we're seeing from, like, the Paul brothers on YouTube and stuff now, would you do it? There was, like, some kind of charity boxing match. Would that interest you or anything?
Yeah, 100%, 100%. I'd want to have the time to train consistently and be in shape. It's, you know, it's a really tough sport. It's a really hard thing to do. But I would love that. Yeah, before I'm too old, I'd absolutely love to get in the ring and do something for charity, yeah. See how I do.
We've asked you a few questions, sent you some questions over in advance, and we want to talk about some of your favourite fights. And I think the first one that you sent over, am I right that it was Izzy and Gastelum?
Yeah, Adesanya Gastelum, yeah. I mean, I think that's probably in a lot of people's top five, isn't it? It's just...
Yeah.
It was the first time that we'd seen Adesanya in any kind of trouble, and we saw him overcome adversity. And when you think of Adesanya, you think the comparisons with John Jones and Anderson Silva. He's got all of the attributes, the potential to be on that level. You know what I mean? He could really be that. Obviously, he's had a defeat in the light heavyweight, but the fact he even went up there was incredible, and he gets kudos for that, I think. But yeah, it was mad to see him in trouble and overcome that, and it was a bit of a back and forth battle, and then, you know, in the last round, he dropped Gastelum, which is an amazing, really dramatic fight, wasn't it? I loved it.
I agree. I think before we started this podcast, I think that was definitely up there for me. But my favourite fight was probably, at the time,
Robbie Lawler versus Rory McDonald 2.
Rory McDonald, yeah, when he has his lip hanging off.
Yeah, exactly, yes, yeah. But then we had a section on this show that when we get people that aren't MMA fans, to we give them a classic fight to watch, and then we get them to kind of talk about what their opinions were on MMA before and after the fight. And our first fight we gave to someone was Gastelum Adesanya.
Yeah.
And I have to say, after watching it and then also rewatching McDonald Lawler 2 for someone else's fight or flight, they swapped for me. Gastelum Adesanya became my favorite fight because I felt it was far more technical. Robbie Lawler McDonald, obviously there's loads of technique in there, but it felt like guts and determination and whose will was going to break first. Adesanya Gastelum had that, but it also had such a high technical level to it. And that's what made it that probably is now my favorite fight.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah.
I think when you look back on them two fights, and as you said, when I thought back, I'd always go Robbie Rory. But as soon as you think of them fights, if you haven't watched them recently, you do exactly what you said, James. It's like, oh yeah, Robbie's lit. Yeah. And then you just think of that stare down when they finished the round, and it was like you know, goosebumps thinking about it. But then when you watch the fight, it's a great fight, of course. But then, like you say, when we went back and watched the Izzy fight, it's like, that's one of the greatest fights ever.
Yeah. It's like Blake said, it was all guts. And, you know what I mean? It was just like, and I think you're seeing the UFC is evolving at a rapid rate, and these fighters that are coming up, you're seeing just, like you say, the technical aspect of MMA is gone up exponentially. And you see it with, obviously Lawler's getting older and stuff now, but he can't really hang with the new guys. And same with Rory he's in Bellator now, isn't he?
Well, he just left Bellator for the PFL, I think. Yeah, he's in PFL now. Yeah.
But yeah, just a technical aspect. And another one, it's a random one to throw in, Cub Swanson, Do Ho Choi.
That's the other one we did, the fight of flight. That's not random at all. That is absolutely amazing. Unbelievable.
I've never seen anything like that. The only one that could probably compare is the Arlovski Travis Brown. Where
have you?
That's the other one.
You've been doing your homework. You're putting these out there to wind us up.
I swear
we've done four episodes, and that's the fourth
one. No way. Well, okay, that's yours, man. How much of a nerd I am. Yeah.
You've clearly got great taste.
Yeah. Just those fights. I mean, the one where Travis Brown like knocks Arlovski down after he's just getting battered is wild.
Yeah. Absolutely mad. But I mean. Oh, I mean, Cub Swanson lands a cartwheel kick in that fight. Yeah. It's absolutely mental.
The ref could have stopped it about 10 times, couldn't he?
It's mad. Mm. And I know you also mentioned in one of your answers the recent Holloway-Calvin Kattar fight as well.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, in terms of, for me, as a fight, it felt a bit too one-sided. But in terms of probably the greatest performance from one athlete I've ever seen.
Exactly, yeah.
Holloway in that fight is just unbelievable, isn't he?
Yeah, that's why I thought I'd give it a mention, just because when I was watching it, I was sort of like, I was looking around the room, I was like, surely this is one of the best displays of just displays, performances you'll ever see. But he was just, you know, and Kattar is, you know, people don't realize this guy. He's no joke at all. He is a quality fighter. I've seen him dominate people, high level people. And so what Max did in that fight, and then he was taunting him as well in between. It was just so entertaining. So that would maybe make be my favorite. It's not much of a fight, let's be honest, but just the performance was incredible.
Absolutely.
I did look at the stats on that, and I think he threw 75% of the strikes in that whole fight.
Yeah.
That's the how much he just absolutely outweighed.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. We spoke about Izzy a moment ago, and we've got to ask, just looking ahead to this weekend's fight, one of the other kind of blips, not a blip on his record, but Vettori still thinks in his own mind he won that fight. How do you see that panning out of the weekend?
It's tough. You know, I'm a little bit torn because I obviously Vittori's quality, and it's sort of how can has Adesanya lost any confidence with that loss?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's does he go in a little bit less less confident? And you know, that's historically that, you know, that could have the ingredients of him getting on a bit of a skid, if you know what I mean. So I hope that he comes through and bounces back, because I'm a big fan, and I think, like I said before, he could be great. He already is great, but he could be one of the, you know, the Hall of Famers. To be honest, I'm torn. I think technically Adesanya should come through it. I think he should beat him, but I don't know. I don't know what to expect. If he comes in and he feels a bit like tentative or whatever, then Vittori's, you know, capable of catching him in something.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think Adesanya should win it, but as you say, who knows what his confidence level's like. I mean, the big factor for me in that Blachowicz fight was the size difference. I mean, Adesanya weighed in at like, was it like 201 or 203 pounds or something like that? Yeah. You know that Blachowicz weighing in at 205 is actually approaching the fight at probably more like 220. So yeah. That's a huge size. I mean, we saw it the other night or whatever. Not that I watched it, because I'm not massively into the circus of it. Yeah. But Logan Paul and Floyd Mayweather, people are like, Logan did really well, or Floyd just really carried him. It's like, well, the size matters. If you're trying to knock someone out and they weigh 2.5-3 stone more than you, especially with those like 12 or 14 ounce gloves on or whatever they were, it makes a massive difference. So, yeah.
100%. I was really impressed with a 44-year-old Floyd Mayweather, to be honest. Everyone's like, he should have knocked him out. But, yeah, like you say, the weight discrepancy is that big.
Yeah.
I defy anyone with any, you know, as good as Floyd Mayweather might be the best boxer of all time. Like, he's given up, what's he given up, about 100 pounds or something? I don't know what it is, but it's mad. But with the Blachowicz thing, you're right. Yeah, Adesanya was beating him handily on feet, wasn't he? He was just outpointing him, and then just got laid on for a couple of rounds.
Yeah.
And that nicked him the fight. Obviously, it won't go that way at the Vittori fight. It's probably going to be a bit more technical, but it's a really interesting.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Interesting fight. It's going to be fun to watch.
I mean, we've asked you to give us in advance your favourite fighter, and obviously that's a fighter where there's a whole world of fun involved in his career at every possible sort of turning in that career. Conor McGregor, right?
Yeah, which is I'm sure most people's favourite fighter. It's a bit of it's a popular one to pick. But I think for me with Conor is that I watched his rise. I knew of him. I knew of him before he came at the UFC, being a double champ in Cage Warriors. And I watched his rise from his first fight. And he came about at a time when in my own life I was kind of written off, and I'd been dropped from a record label, and you know, people said I couldn't come back, sort of thing. And I suppose I kind of resonated with him a little bit. His whole shtick was that people said he couldn't. He was all talk and all that kind of stuff, and he had a lot of adversity to overcome in the early part of his career. Obviously, you know, the Aldo thing and Mendez, and yeah, just love him. Really, obviously, he's very charismatic, very inspirational, motivational. yeah, it's a kind of like, you know, it's sort of like we got to witness our kind of our own Muhammad Ali moment in a way. If you were, you know, lucky enough to follow him from the beginning of his career. So yeah, McGregor, yeah, and just Andy's put on some incredible fights, and is I don't think he gets enough credit for how good of a fighter he is, really.
Yeah, I mean, that is the thing. You can't say he's not entertaining. He's unbelievably entertaining, both in and out of the octagon. And the thing that you mentioned there that I really, really loved was the fact that you found inspiration from him, you know. And that's the one thing that that I really love about this sport is that, you know, you can do an incredibly different job to someone. You can do... you know, something that working in an office, and yet you're watching these athletes go through their lives and come across adversity and battle against it, and that inspires you to then go on and achieve things in your life. And I absolutely love that they're a source of inspiration for regular people like ourselves.
Yeah. I think that's why he's kind of. He's inspired so many people because we're invested, you know, we were invested in his whole thing of like trying to prove to people how good he was and that he could do it sort of thing. And he's making a comeback after the Nate Diaz loss and all that. It's just someone that you could really invest in, I think. And yeah, I certainly took inspiration from him and just inspired by him, definitely.
And it shouldn't ever be overlooked, like what, aside from, you know, the money he's made and the, you know, the fame that he's got, what he's done for mixed martial arts and UFC. I mean, it's took it to a different place. The amount of people, you know, that I used to talk about UFC, you know, talking about Tito and fighters like that, and they were like, no, yeah. I know who they are. But now you mention UFC or Conor McGregor, people know what you're talking about. He's you know, taking nothing away from what Dana and that have done with the organisation. He's took that somewhere.
Oh, without a doubt, yeah. He's the face of MMA. And, we know, doing the crossover fight with Floyd Mayweather just became a global star. And, you know, just he raised UFC's stocks exponentially. And everyone knows who Dana White is now. And everyone knows who a lot of UFC fighters are now because of Conor McGregor. And, it's almost a popular thing to do to be like, oh, right, yeah, you're a Conor McGregor, like bandwagon or sort of thing. I like Usman, you know, or I like this guy, and that's great. I think that's cool because it's, as long as people are invested in the sport, I think it's a good thing. Hopefully, it provides better fights moving forward.
Has it been more difficult to remain like that kind of like Uber Conor fan, given some of the outside of the cage stuff? Because I have to say, I was such a big part of being on that Conor train during that rise. I mean, those Aldo press conferences and stuff for me were just like absolutely incredible. And then the documentary, the Notorious one, I think they were talking about like when he had that last minute change to go to Chad Mendes, didn't he have like a busted knee or something like that? And he still went on to fight. You can take so much inspiration from that. But then there has been certain things outside of the cage more recently that have made me go, oh, I'm finding it more and more difficult to continually root for him when that's going on. Have you found that as well?
There's definitely been moments, yeah. I mean, morally, you'd have to be, you know, in the wrong place, I suppose, not to look at certain things that have happened, you know, i.e. the busting and, you know, the geezer in the pub. But I don't want to go over the. Yeah, there was definitely moments where I was grappling with the idea of still supporting this guy. But again, if I draw parallels with my own journey, I know that when, you know, being plucked from obscurity and being on the front pages and stuff, all of a sudden, I made some really bad choices in my own life. And you grow, and I'd like to think that Conor has grown from a lot of these things.
Yeah.
I don't believe that we'll see that. So, I mean, we've seen a much different Conor McGregor in you know, recent years. And not that we actually want that. I think we still want him to be a bit of a bad guy. We just don't want him going around, you know, hurting people or whatever in pubs. But I hear what you're saying. I think the most annoying thing for me is probably that whole, the sort of business model that he may have given birth to a little bit. And you mentioned the Logan Paul and your more so your Jake Pauls, where, you know, Conor, was just better than anyone. He made being the bad guy cool, and the way he promoted the fights and the trash talk, and he's just natural at that. And yeah, not many people are. You know, I can't think of another person who can actually do it and pull it off, and you believe it. It's quite cringy a lot, but it's now become the business model. How you sell fights, how you promote yourself, is to be a bit of an asshole. And it's given birth to these crossover celebrity fights, and you see the way they're going on. It just cringes me out, to be honest.
Because fans can see through it, can't they?
Connor can fight, man. You know what I mean? He can really fight, and obviously these dopes can't. So that bothers me.
Yeah, he's got such a fan-friendly style as well, hasn't he? And I mean, particularly, I think, in the earlier fights, like when he came out against, like, Dennis Siver, and he immediately just threw, like, a spinning back kick. And he was throwing the kicks and doing that. He looked like a martial artist. He just used every weapon available to him.
Yeah, I love that version of Connor, the sort of karate, like the side karate stance.
Yes.
He's bouncing, and he's throwing spinning kicks. I loved Connor at featherweight. You know, he's amazing at lightweight as well. But yeah, just he looked like, yeah, just a really complete martial artist at featherweight. And yeah, like you say, really fan friendly.
Yeah.
That's the kind of low slung karate stance and kicking off the lead leg and things like that, which he done perfectly. It felt like you don't see that so much now from him. Yeah. Like, it felt like, whether he's been doing more boxing training, I don't know. He seemed to be far more in a more upright, sort of more boxing Muay Thai kind of stance than that low slung kind of thing that we see from Wonderboy and that. And it's like, and I like that. It looks different. It, you know, and you're seeing him throwing them elaborate kicks and, you know, I don't know why, whether that's just the change in weight, I don't know. But yeah, it was obviously very, very effective for him. But
I do miss that sort of that bouncy style. It at featherweight, or when he used to sort of adopt that karate style, that low stance, as you say, it didn't feel like you could get caught with the sort of kicks that he got caught with in that Poirier fight. Like, he's not getting his lead leg kicked like that. He's bouncing out of the way. But yeah, I think, do you know what? I think maybe he's gotten a little bit obsessed with boxing. I think that's my take on it. I think, you know, after the Floyd Mayweather thing, I think he really wants to prove that he can box, I think. And maybe he spends more time on the boxing thing than he should. But if he wants to be successful in the UFC again, I don't know. I'm definitely not an expert, but that's how it seems to me. It's very different now. Like you say, it's a bit more front on, isn't it? The stance. It's not as, he's not as elusive. It seems he's easier to hit now.
Yeah, and there was rumours that he was eyeing up a fight with Pacquiao for after the Poirier rematch. Yeah. And also, I think for the last fight or two, he's had his old boxing coach from Crumlin Boxing Gym or whatever with him. Yeah. And, I mean, that is one thing you have to say about Conor. Unbelievable loyalty. Like, he's been with John Kavanagh, Owen Roddy, all those guys from day one, it seems. And even kind of before day one, before the MMA, he was with that old Crumlin boxing coach. And he's brought him back into the fold as well. I mean, surely any gym in the world would want Conor McGregor, whether they be, you know, Alpha Male or Syndicate or, you know, whatever it might be, AKA, I mean, it probably wouldn't go down well with Khabib, but you know, they would all want him. They'd all be able to learn from him and his striking. It'd be great for the profile of place, you know, and all that stuff. But he stayed loyal. We stayed with the people that were with him from day one. And that's something you can never knock Conor for. But speaking of Poirier, how do you think the trilogy ends up? Poirier McGregor 3.
How do I think it ends up? I think Conor has to win, doesn't he? I mean, it feels very much like it's sort of... I think a lot of people might turn off, you know. I mean, I certainly won't, because you can, you know, I don't think people realise how easy it is to lose it in MMA. The margins are so slim.
And how good Poirier is. I mean, Khabib, Poirier could be the number one lightweight in the world easily.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the fact that Poirier has just been through, I mean, that lightweight division is so dense. There's so many top fighters. And Poirier's, bar Khabib, he looks head and shoulders above the rest, which is saying a lot, isn't it? And he's just, if you get into a scrap, a five round scrap with Poirier, he's coming out on top for me. I would never bet against him in a five round fight. So I think Conor has to knock him out, and he's obviously capable of that. I think Poirier himself said Conor hurt him, I think, in round one. And if he'd maybe jumped on him, maybe that was due to an activity that he didn't jump on him and try and get him out of there. It could have been a very different fight, but hopefully Conor's coming in a bit sharper this time, and he might up his sparring or something. But yeah, I think Conor he gets it done. I think whenever he knows he has to get it done, and we saw it with the he's good at making adjustments. It's obviously like it'll have been like the first time that he fought this Poirier, like the featherweight thing. I don't think you can really reference that, their fight years ago. I think Poirier is a completely different fighter now. Conor's obviously a completely different fighter.
Definitely.
He's got to make adjustments. If he does that, I think he wins. I think he's the better boxer. Hopefully that's how it goes down.
I mean, there's a million and one fights I'd love to see in that division. But one of the other things that we've asked you to have a think about, James, is some dream fights. Now, these fights, we've never done this on the podcast before, and I'm looking forward to it because, it can be any era, past and present, perfect dream matchups. What are you saying, mate?
Well, I think my management asked me this in preparation. They said they sent over your questions. And I think I put John Jones, Anderson Silva, and I didn't put a GSP one in there, and I regret it now because I think GSP Khabib, prime GSP probably, and Khabib is the most compelling fight just because Khabib's never been beaten. And you'd like to think, and a lot of people think GSP is the GOAT. It'd be great to see if GSP was Khabib's kryptonite, because I think he, of all the fighters historically, you look back on, he's got the most well-rounded fighter I think we've had. And the wrestling is incredible. I think that would be my ultimate dream fight. But again, Anderson Silva, John Jones, Anderson Silva in his prime, John Jones would be great to see as a technical fight. There's loads, isn't there? There's loads of fights you can make.
There's so many. I mean, like, I think GSP Khabib, you're absolutely right. That would be such a great... I mean, it would make huge amounts of money and create a lot of interest now with GSP being, what, probably around 40 or something like that, or nearing 40. So it would make a lot of interest now, even though I think if they did manage to do that fight now, and like even like a catch weight of 165 or something like that, I think Khabib would win that fight. Yeah. But when you're talking about a prime GSP against this Khabib, who knows? Because GSP seemed to make a habit of fighting so smart and just outstriking grapplers and out-grappling strikers.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know what he's going to be trying to do with Khabib. And surely GSP's wrestling ability transferred to like just stuffing takedowns and then working his striking.
Yeah,
it would cause Khabib a lot of problems, you would imagine. So that would be such an interesting fight. And Jones Silva, if Jones wasn't allowed to take him down, that's a really interesting fight. But I can see Jones just going as if I'm striking with you, body locked down, and just doing damage on the ground.
Yeah, you're right. Obviously, the wrestling aspect, I think John Jones beats him if he goes that route. I was thinking more the kind of stand-up. I'd love to see that back and forth. Yeah. But with the GSP Khabib thing, like, GSP is the most cerebral fighter I think I've ever seen in the octagon. Like, the adjustments he makes in fight is amazing. Like you said, if he was in his prime, I'd love to see how he would deal with that pressure from Khabib and the threat of the takedowns. It would just be amazing.
I'd be interested to see how Khabib deals with having to look at GSP with hair as well, because he's been freaking me out for like fucking months now. Every time I see him on his Instagram, I'm like, wow, GSP's got hair. It's weird.
Yeah, he knows the hairline, guys. he's looking good.
I mean, where are we at with John Jones? Is there anything, rumours yet? What's going on?
He's employed some new, I can't remember his name, but he's very well respected in the boxing world, maybe worked for Showtime recently as well. He's employed someone to be his new kind of like manager, and apparently Dana White has a good relationship with him. Whether or not that will make a difference, I don't know, but it looks like it's going to be Ngannou versus Lewis, and then hopefully Jones fights after that, but then you've got Stipe coming back. And I think the UFC are in such a strong negotiating position with anyone because they're like, you're contracted to us. Jones has probably got like a 6-fight deal.
Mm.
It's weird how often, I suppose it happens in like Premier League football and stuff as well, but it's weird to me how often fighters go, I've got like 4 or 5 fights on my contract. What I'll do is I'll renegotiate my contract to get a bit more money, but that'll take me up to 7 or 8 fights on my contract. And then after they have one of those fights, they're going, oh no, you're not paying me enough money. It's like, well, don't sign the contract. If I mean, it's granted these people are probably tied up for a long time, but if you're a young fighter now and you're going to be a huge megastar in like 2 or 3 years' time, surely the best thing to do is go, always just stick with the, make sure you're happy with the money you're getting and go, I'm happy with this money and I'm just going to take myself down to 2 fights left on the contract and then I'll see about renegotiating, because they just have you by the balls if you know.
It does seem to be the model there is that, like, you know, you might get that big payday, but you've also got to sign up for 4 or 5 fights as well as, I think that was the case with Masvidal recently. Is that he wanted to renegotiate his contract, and Dana was like, "Well, he's just signed like a 5-6 fight deal or something." It's right. I think some of them are getting some dodgy advice, but on the subject of Jones, I think with him, it seems like he wants to get paid now, doesn't he? He looks at the landscape and he's like, "The sport's bigger than ever. Like, surely I built this. You know, surely I had a big hand in building this, undefeated for over a decade or whatever, just dominating in that division, which is phenomenal to think that he was champion for that long and in a division where you get knocked out so easily. He wants to get paid. Some of the numbers he's thrown about seem a bit unrealistic, but I would like to see him get a big payday. And I think I'd love to see that in fight Ngannou.
That's a super fight, isn't it? I mean, and they're talking about like the fact that you've got 3 African-born champions now as well in Adesanya, Ngannou, and Usman. I mean, just like that would be like the Rumble in the Jungle, the Thriller in Manila. That'll be a fight that just transcends, and it will just be, you know, Jones Ngannou somewhere in Africa would be absolutely amazing. If they, I mean, I know pandemic aside, because it'd take a while to get it done anyway, but if they could do the first ever UFC, because I don't think they've been to Africa before, the first ever UFC event in Africa is headlining by Jones versus Ngannou for the heavyweight title. Absolutely. That's dreams.
Oh, man. And if Ngannou beats John Jones, the start, that guy's narrative is absolute fairy tale stuff, isn't it? I
mean, yeah.
He was like working on a building site in Africa, wasn't he?
He was in sand mines as a child. He was working in sand mines as a child. Just
started fighting in his early, late, didn't he? I think he started when he was in his 20s.
It's something mad. I mean, I'm probably like losing a lot of details, but it's like he's working in sand mines in Cameroon, I think it is, as a child. Then he's kind of going to school, but he's got like nothing. Like the teacher's even saying to him, why haven't you got books and pens? And he's like, well, he doesn't want to say this, but he can't afford it and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And he then travels to like Italy, like I think technically like illegally. And then he boards a train that ends up in Paris again, without a ticket illegally. He's living in like a car park in maybe his like early 20s or something like that. And this kind of charity or whatever kind of finds him.
Yeah.
And the car park is near like a boxing gym or something like that. And he starts training at the gym, and he's with this charity and all this stuff. And, you know, flash forward a few years later, he's a heavyweight champion of the world. It's a movie.
Yeah, it's a movie. And beating the consensus greatest heavyweight of all time, and Stipe Miocic as well, and overcoming. He was dominated in that first fight. He just got figured out and taken down. So he's made adjustments as well. To be a guy that is just obviously a freak athlete, and trained his ass off, like, and where he's come from, unbelievable. If you're looking for inspiration, look no further than that guy's story.
So, I mean, first of all, he's Derek Lewis is standing in the way. And what I think we all thought was going to be one of the most vicious, you know, 1-minute fights ever went on to be one of the most boring fights in UFC history. How do we see that happening second time?
Oh, mate, I just hope it's nothing like that. Lewis has got a Derek Lewis fight has always got the potential to end up like that, I think, because people are so scared of his, yeah. of his power. You see it a lot, you know, it's really cagey, like early on in Derek Lewis fights. But you'd like to think that Ngannou probably has got a bit more confidence now and feels as though he should be taking care of Derek Lewis, as much of a fan of Derek Lewis as I am. But yeah, they both possess such freak power. Like, they could be cagey again. You could, before you know it, three rounds have gone by and no one's throwing a punch. Like, it's one of them. It's got the potential to be that, or someone gets knocked, someone gets caught, you know, at any time early on, hopefully.
Yeah.
I don't think I can't sit through five rounds of that again. No chance.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud. Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
No, I think the one thing that I think might make it less like that is I think that Ngannou seems to have improved his kicking game a lot. Yeah. And we saw like a head kick against Stipe that rattled him. Yeah. And I'm wondering if, because you don't want to get into boxing range with Derek Lewis, even if you are Francis Ngannou. So I wonder if we'd see him lay back a little bit more, maybe try and keep in kicking range and see how he does from there. But yeah, let's just hope it's nothing like that first fight.
That would be a great game plan for him, I think. Yeah, try and work your way in with the kicks and try and land some. Yeah, I just feel like Ngannou is going to just obliterate everyone outside of John Jones, to be fair. I just want to see that. I just want to see that fight so bad. It's going to be unreal.
He's truly like, I mean, I was just sort of thinking of terrifying fighters over the years, from like Chuck to, you know, and then it was like Brock's the most, you know, terrifying man on the planet. Then it was like Cain Velasquez. None of them are anywhere near as having Francis coming across that octagon at you. Terrifying.
You mentioned Cain Velasquez. When Cain Velasquez was at his peak, like, I just thought he was unstoppable. He couldn't be beaten. He was hampered by injuries, wasn't he, Cain Velasquez? I think he could have. I mean, he is a great, but he could. Yeah, I felt like he was just going to be dominant for a long time, and it wasn't to be.
Yeah.
And Ngannou, he's definitely got all the makings to be the best. I mean, you can't argue with him being the best right now after beating Miocic.
Well, what we always like to ask guests as well, as we start to sort of wrap up the chat. So let's imagine there's a scrap. You've got the gloves on. You're going to come out to the octagon. We'll be kind to you. You're not going to fight Francis. You can pick your opponent. But what we want to know is the two most important things is what's your fight name going to be and what song you're walking out to?
Good question. Well, I've thought a lot about this, and I've played a lot of the UFC game.
Did you make yourself?
I made myself. Yeah.
I did exactly the same thing. What division did you put yourself in?
I've sort of toyed with welterweight and light heavyweight because I'm about 220 pounds. So, but the 55 thing is the glamorous division that appeals. I've played around in a few of them. I'm trying to be a multiple weight champion. You know what I mean?
From 155 all the way up to 205.
Yeah, exactly. UJ Penn style. Do you know what? I think I'd just probably play on my surname and. You know, being Arthur, I've gone with the King.
Yeah, King Arthur. Nice. Yeah, that's good. I like it. It works.
There's not a lot of options on the game. So, I've kind of gone for that. And then the song I'd walk out to, I've always thought I just want to walk out with something really heavy, you know, screamo type vibe. So, I'd probably go Deftones, My Own Summer.
Oh, what a tune. The minute that snare snaps at the beginning and out you come. Nice. Did Dan Hardy walk out to Deftones?
He might have done, actually. He definitely walked out some metal, I think.
Yeah, yeah. That might have been Pantera, actually. I'm not too sure. And so, just before we finish things up, James, what's happening with you?
What's happening with me? I've got a song out on... I don't know when this podcast is coming out, lads, but I've got a song out on the 11th of June on Friday called September. We're going to be announcing... the album pretty soon as well, and then hopefully a tour. So yeah, just lot of stuff involving the music. Just lots of music stuff out during the 2020. When we were under the throes of the pandemic, when it was at its peak, I kind of locked myself away in the studio and just wrote an album, and that's been my life for the last 12 months really. It's been great because. Normally, you can't just focus on the one thing. Can't just focus on the making, writing the music. There's a touring and there's promo commitments going on. But as devastating as the pandemic was to so many people, it provided me with a bit of a break and the luxury to just focus on the music. So yeah, I've got loads of music coming out. And answer to your question, one coming on Friday. Hopefully, it's going to be a hit song.
Yeah. Well. Best of luck with that, man. It sounds like you're very, very busy. Can I ask, when you were on tour, how hard is it to catch the UFC? Are you able to watch much of it? Have you got things kind of lined up, recorded or whatever?
Yeah, well, luckily, my band and my entire crew, they're all UFC nuts. Like,
really?
So my guitarist has been a fan of UFC for longer than I have. We've managed to find a link, somewhere between a lot of us. There's been times when we've been kind of in the tour bus, like on someone's iPhone or laptop, watching Holloway Aldo. I remember we watched on the bus. That was cool. We always managed to catch it somehow.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, that's so amazing that you've got like a group of people that are all big friends. Because me and Stu literally started this podcast because we had no friends to talk MMA to. So we were like, oh, well, let's start a podcast. So at least I can talk to you about it.
Yeah, man. Well, anytime you want to get me on, I'll shoot the shit with you. I'm a big fan, by the way. Big, yeah, love your work.
Thanks.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me on, guys.
It's been a pleasure. And we'll hold you to that as well. You come and join us for like either a pre-big pay-per-view breakdown or a post-pay-per-view breakdown or something like that, and we can talk about fights that have been and gone or what we think is going to happen or something.
I would be absolutely honoured to do that. That would be quality. Anytime.
We'll do that, mate.
Oh, top man. Lovely. Thanks so much, James. Really appreciate your time, mate.
Cheers, boys. Appreciate you having me
all
on.
All the best, man. Thank you.
Cheers, mate.
Well, that was great, wasn't it?
Yeah.
James Arthur on the show.
Absolutely. He knew his shit.
He did. He did. He's talking about, that when it was back in like the Channel 5 days, which I remember a little bit of that. For me, I remember it being on like Bravo. Do you remember that random Bravo channel? There was like, I remember Matt Hughes and Chuck Liddell, Tito Ortiz, all that kind of stuff. And then similarly to James, when it was on BT Sport and I started seeing, I think it was the John Jones, Chael Sonnen series of The Ultimate Fighter, I really started to get massively into it from then. And so, like James, I saw that Conor rise and all that kind of stuff and I've just been hooked ever since. But he really did know his stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely fascinating. I mean, I love the fact that you was going you've been boxing on and off for 8 years, so I mean, how do you feel about? I'm thinking, is he fucking matching a fight for him here? I thought, yeah, he's getting your little promoter's head on there. I thought, hang on a minute.
Come on, well, I was going to say, do you want to take on one of those Paul brothers? But I was like, ah, no, I don't want to give them any more
airtime. It's all gone quiet on you calling out Ralph Little, I've noticed.
I'll message him. Yeah, no, the only other thing, I was thinking to myself as well, because this is a unique show for us. Like, normally it's all like, you know, I have a fight or flight where we talk about a specific fight, or we have a fighter on and we're talking about their career. So this was a bit unique. And I was like, I don't know exactly what questions to ask. We had a couple pre-planned and all that. And I'm put together a little quick fire round. And then in the middle of the interview, I thought to myself, oh, quick fire rounds are quite lame, aren't they? Aren't they a bit like lame?
Oh, you should have done it.
No, I don't know. It's just a bit weird. I was like, well, look, it's only like a few questions, but I'll do it on you if you want.
Yes, mate.
And you at home, if you're out on your run or if you're on the train, you can play along too.
Yeah.
Right, it's got to be quick fire. It's got to be quick.
Okay.
McGregor or Khabib?
Khabib.
Jones or DC?
Jones.
Striking or grappling?
Striking.
Wonderboy or Masvidal?
Wonderboy.
Dana White or Eddie Hearn?
Dana White.
Blake or Stu?
Stu.
You had to think about it, though.
Oh, wonderful. Oh yeah, we should definitely get that rolling a little bit. I like it.
A little quick fire round.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Well, if this is your first time listening, then we should also say go and check out the back catalogue, because we've got a fair few episodes now. It's over 20 now, and you can hear us talking to, you know, some real legends of the fight game from all manner of organisations: UFC, Bellator, Cage Warriors, and there's other people from the world of showbiz as well that we've had on doing the aforementioned fight or flight episodes. So yeah, go get stuck in, and better still, subscribe, and then that way you won't miss any other episodes. They'll just pop up on your listening device. Social media, Blake?
Yes, we're on that social media thing. Mm-hmm. We're on Twitter, we're on Instagram, we're on Facebook. You can follow us there, find out all about the upcoming or latest podcast episodes that are coming your way. And also, we're trying to stay up to date as much as we can with fight news, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. So, yeah, join us on the socials.
Absolutely. We'll be back next time. See you soon.
Bye, guys.
Trying to be a multiple weight champion, you know what I mean? It's going to be unreal.